Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So you guys are fascinated to know, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to know, but what won't you say?
It's not that I won't say. It's that I can't think of any. You know, things change, man. Things change.
Well, why don't you let the audience know, Phil, this coming into the show as if you're in mid-conversation, and I don't know,
Margaret, are you the producer of the program?
Excuse me, General. Coming into the program...
Wait. Are you the... All of a sudden, you're telling him how to do it? Boy, there's a hot one for you.
I just think the audience ought to be brought up to speed, don't you?
I'll bring him up to speed. Don't worry about it. So we were talking about,
Well, don't look at me, Phil, like I'm some punk that wants to get into the basketball game. I am, after all... Forget it. Look at me. You're looking at me like I'm a piece of... Like I'm a hunk of meat on a hook.
Oh, no, I'm not, Margaret. No. We were talking... No, I'm just looking at you to... Are you done?
Yes, I'm done. There, now I'm done.
How did I know you'd have to do that?
Yeah, what are you doing? You know it's going to piss everybody off.
She does. That's why she does it. Because she knows it'll P.O. everyone.
No, I did it because I did not want...
Yeah, I know. You didn't want your esophagus to explode. So, we were talking. It just occurred to me before the show. There's all of these... What album would you want to be on a desert island with, you know?
No, it's like, what three?
Yeah, what three albums would you want to be on a desert island with? What three movies would you want to be on a desert island with? And I'm reading this, I'm thinking, are you kidding? There's only three things I'd want to be on a desert island with. My three favorite women.
Yeah!
That's right. Are you kidding? I'm not thinking about records, and I'm not even thinking about food and water, you know?
And since you were nine?
Since I was 9 years old, I've had this fantasy of being stranded on a desert. Because I would always see these television shows, or was in the culture somehow, a desert island. I don't know how the desert island thing started. I guess it's happened to somebody at some time, don't you think?
Well, you think a guy's about stranded on a desert island?
Yeah, I mean, somebody must have been stranded on a desert island at some time. There is the legend of the castaways, not the band, okay?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about liar.
You said fucking.
I did not say that word.
Fuck, T-H-A, not the other one.
Oh.
Yeah, you did. You lisped.
So what?
You guys are always talking about me lisping.
No, I'm not talking about it...
Let me just finish what I was going to say. So, this whole thing about being stranded on a desert island, I could care less about the three albums or the three pieces of jewelry, whatever the hell people are talking about. My three favorite things would be three women. So, from the time I was, like I said, 9 years of age, I would fantasize, you know. And when I was a little kid, the hottest women were women like Jane Fonda.
Wait a minute, a little kid?
Yeah, Jane Fonda's older than me. I mean, she was like, you know, not much older, but I'm kidding. When you're 13, man, any chick 20, she might as well be 50. I mean, she's way up there. She's like in a world that you're not in. She's up there with the adult guys, you know, you got no chance. So, Jane Mansfield, stuff like that. Now, they're just asking me, you guys were asking me before the show, well, okay, what are the women now? And I said, now... The women I would want to be stranded on a desert island with, I know. I'm not saying they're celebrities. They're just women that I know. You know what I mean?
Well, why are they? I don't understand.
In other words, when you're a little kid, the hottest women that you can possibly think of are all celebrity movie star types. But when you become a man and you're in the world, the hottest women, I tell you right now, the hottest women that I can think of are not celebrities. They're women that I've met, women that I know, women who have...
Are they women...
Don't you dare ask him that.
I won't answer it, bud. I'm just telling you, and I personally think, if you're interested in women, or if you're interested in men, and you're an adult and you've been in the world for a while, it probably ought to be that way. Shouldn't it be that, you know?
Well, you're saying the hottest as in the most attractive, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that the most attractive women that I know... are also, I'd like to say they're celeb. I don't know the answer to that question, Phil. You put me in a very, in a predicament. You know, I love my wife, and I think she's attractive as far as it goes for wives that are almost 60.
All right, never forget I asked it, okay?
You know.
Oh, that's very flattering.
Margaret, you know, you're going to have to accept this for what it is. You're just going to have to accept. You can't get on a guy's back for every little thing, for every little thought that a man has, for every little fantasy that a guy. You can't climb all over us for everything. You just got to accept certain things, just as men have got to do the same with women.
I was just about to say, are you ready to allow us to have our flights of filth?
Filth?
Yes, filth. I'm not saying I would cheat on Frank, but if you get to think filthy thoughts, then so do we.
Yeah, we kind of talk about filthy. Well, you know what, Margaret? You've actually shared some of your filthy thoughts.
In what sense are you? Oh, my God, you got a pair on you.
What about that guy, the Greek guy, who was gnawing down on a sandwich?
For the 900th time, he wasn't gnawing down on a sandwich. He was eating a cucumber sandwich.
All right. I mean, the fact is, you have no problem sharing that with us, so... Anyway, yeah, they would be women that I would know. So I posted that on Facebook. We'll see. It was really interesting because I think most guys are going to think of celebrities, you know?
What do you mean?
I think if you say to a guy, who are the three women you'd like to be left on a desert island with, most guys are consumers being what they are. And unfortunately, we're all the same. But because we're consumers, we automatically do as we're told. That is... quote unquote, do as we're told. That means when the media guy asks you a question like that, the first thing you think is, oh, he must mean celebrity women, so I will write them down.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, they're going to be racking their brains for three celebrity women.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're not racking their brains. Maybe most guys are so brainwashed. And I mean this, most men are so brainwashed, they think that the hottest women in the world have got to be celebrities or movie actresses. You know?
Yeah, but what if it's true?
If that's true, then that guy's got some problem. I mean, he's got a really sad life because hot doesn't necessarily, you know, good looks and how hot they are, it doesn't necessarily go together, you know?
Well, Phil, you're just talking like a guy that's never really, well, shall we say, grazed in the high grass.
Is that right? Well...
Boy, Phil, she threw it down that time, didn't she?
How you gonna respond, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, what are you gonna say?
Will you get out of here and back up? What is this, man? Some wrestling match?
Well, how do you answer that?
I answer what? I'm not going to answer it. I'm not going to answer that question. Fact of the matter is, I'm going to make this point, and then we're going to go to a break.
What a gutless...
I'm not gutless. I'm making this point, and we're going to a break. The hottest women in the world may not necessarily be celebrities or actresses or women out of magazines. If they are, in your life as a man, if that's what you think of, the first thing you think of, not because you feel prompted by your sort of sheep-like mind, which unfortunately we're all sheep when it comes to media and advertising. We are. We're all sheep, especially men, when it comes to beauty. We have accepted the Hugh Hefner model, and we all follow along like the dimwits that we are. And so when I say, who are the three hottest women, most really dumb guys, who, I got to be honest with you, I think a lot of these guys are probably borderline straight anyway.
You know something, Phil? Any guy that has a different view of beauty than you think is queerer than a $2 bill. Yes, I said queer. Queerer than a $2 bill.
Watch it, Margaret.
I said it.
Yeah, there she goes.
I have to go get a cigar.
She's got to go get a cigar. All right, anyway, so on the show tonight, we're going to go maybe do a little update on this jet that's missing. I don't know. It's really strange. We'll see what else is happening in this world of ours, which is, or maybe most of the really cool stuff that's happening in this world of ours is happening to me, or to you, or to the assembled. We will be talking a little bit about the writing of an autobiography, which I am planning, and I'm actually planning on this to come out in the fall.
Now, hold on. I'm getting a cigar. I want to talk about this.
You hold on. We'll be talking to Brad Rifkin about that, who is with the Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas. The tentative title for my biography is In Your Wildest Hallucinations, and that is a title that I took from one of my favorite movies of all time, the Clint Eastwood classic, The Gauntlet. So,
Brad!
Don't worry about it, bud.
We're calling the wild.
Wait, what is the name of it, Phil, In the Wildest what?
In Your Wildest Hallucinations.
Is so weird.
We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. It's It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We are live and mobile on the Listen Live button on our website, which means you can listen to us for free right now on your mobile or on your desktop. Just hit Listen Live. Or you can go to TuneIn and enter our name in there to the search engine, and you'll find us, and you can bookmark us or however you do that. And there we are, Phil Henry Show, Truth is Our Bitch. Which, by the way, on TuneIn, they also have a car mode of some kind. I don't know what that is. Do you know?
Yeah, it's something you'll set up for your car.
I would imagine it's for the automobile.
Yes, it's for the automobile. I'm just wondering. Well, and nonetheless, that's the TuneIn option. Most of you have Bluetooth. If you got a smartphone, you have some form of Bluetooth. You can bring the audio in on your car. It's actually the whole process of us switching over to a web platform on Monday has been an education of consumers. We've had to educate the consumers a little bit, you know.
Well, in what sense? You mean to teach them the technology?
But I think people are dumb.
No, I don't think people are dumb, bud. I didn't say that. I said that people are just used to doing things a certain way. And, you know, the saying goes, nobody likes change. Everybody wants to do it the way it's been done. Even though using a smartphone is far easier and far better than using a car radio or a regular radio, because your phone is with you all the time. So if you want to listen to the show while you're also working online, while you're also doing whatever you're doing, sending text messages, you can do that. What we've done is on Facebook, on our fan page, we have a little bit of a primer on where you go on our website, whether it's the mobile version or the desktop version to listen to the show live. And then we've also got a picture there, a photograph of TuneIn, and where you go to listen to us on TuneIn. And we're doing all this because on Monday we leave the terrestrial radio platform and move into the 21st century, to be honest with you, and we will be a web platform-only radio show. If you want to call it a radio show. I don't know. What do we call it now?
Well, you can call it a web... Not webio, but...
That's what Bubba the Sponge...
Would you quit calling him Bubba the Sponge? Bubba the Love Sponge.
Man, you're the dumbest guy.
I said it. Just doing shorthand.
Yes, shorthand. Bubba's got Radio. Radio, is that what that is? That's an internet platform-type network he's got other shows on. And Steve Dahl, I don't know what they call it, but just call it the Phil Henry Show, our audio show, our...
What about Theater of the Mind?
I despise that.
What are you talking about? Theater of the Mind is so lovely and beautiful.
Yeah, it's real great. Theater of the Mind is the most meaningless term that has ever been invented in the history of this world. Theater of the Mind means nothing to a radio audience, absolutely nothing. And I've had people say to me, oh, what you do is like Theater of the Mind? I said, whatever you want to call it, please don't call it that, because no one understands that. The audience doesn't get it. They don't care. It doesn't turn them on. It sounds like something out of 1930s radio. It sounds like I'm doing a Jack Benny show here or something.
Well, don't you think in many ways, Phil, you are sort of the Jack Benny, you know?
Yeah, who's Jack Benny? Or not Jack Benny, but who's Jack Benny? Because there was a Jack Benny, remember?
Jack Benny, no. Jack Benny was a Siamese businessman.
Whoa, man.
You know Jack Benny.
What? What are you talking about?
Phil, calm down.
Yes, Phil. Jack Benny, you don't know him.
No, a Jack Benny. Who's that?
He's a Siamese businessman.
All right, first thing you need to do is don't call him Siamese, okay?
Well, that's what, Phil, I insist on the original name of the Kingdom of Burma, all right?
Well, it's called something else now.
What is?
Burma is called something else now.
Yeah, maybe it's called Siam again.
No, it ain't called Siam, all right?
Well, I like the classic terms. This man is a Siamese businessman.
See, when you say Siamese, people are thinking Siamese twin.
Yeah, I've got to admit, Margaret, that was the first thing I thought was this man was conjoined to another man. I admire him for the business acumen he's developed while being attached to another man. And of course, we're not referencing a homosexual, right?
No. This is the Siamese twin.
Yeah. Okay. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about?
That's not my problem. It's the general's brain, not mine.
Well, what does that mean?
Wait. So let's just say he's a Burmese businessman. Is that okay?
Fine.
What about him?
Well, he's a Burmese businessman. He's made quite a bit of money. He's made it with timeshares. He's made it, I don't know, Bud, you saw some of the paraphernalia, or some of the information, right?
Yeah, they brought information and want to know about a timeshare.
Who brought this in?
Somebody come to the dorm.
Someone came to the door with what?
With information from Jack Benny.
I'm going to kill somebody.
Bill, it's very simple. Jack Benny, and if you want, we could get the sale. Well, the sales rep on that?
I think it was Bob McGraw, wasn't it?
I think so.
No. I don't want to talk to that nut. Please.
Well, in any event, that's who it was. And this Jack Benny has timeshares.
All right, well, it's one thing to say that Jack Benny and Jack Benny and Jack Benny has timeshares, which is fine, but I've never heard of Jack Benny. I wouldn't say he's one of the all-time great salesmen.
Well, he almost sold me.
And that's good?
Yes.
All right, great. I don't want to buy a timeshare. Where are the timeshares, bud?
In Siam. Well, not Siam, but...
In Siam, huh? Oh, man. All right.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it, man. It's Burma or whatever the hell they're calling it. He's got timeshares, what, on the beach?
Yes, on the beach. You know something? You really got to get with it, Phil. Some of the beach property, the beachfront property in Vietnam, in Thailand, is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful.
You know something? I've got to admit, I did hear that. I know some guys that regularly go scuba diving off the Vietnamese coast.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. They go scuba diving. They have a great many deep-sea diving vacation packages that one can take to Vietnam. So,
do you do any of that, General?
No. Not me. No. You're not going to see me going down. What do I look like, Lloyd Bridges and Sea Hunt? No, thank you. No can do.
Well, I'm not a big scuba diver either. I've gives me the creeps.
Why is that?
I just, the idea of big giant fish, you know, swimming up on me creeps me out. I can't do it, man. Call me a big chicken, whatever you want. I don't do it. I don't mind snorkeling, and I can swim. I got no problem with that. But if I actually can see what's underneath me, it creeps me out big time.
Like a big gigantic octopus or something like that?
A big gigantic octopus? No, not necessarily. Although if I'm out there in the water and I'm floating around in that dark, black, inky water long enough, and I'm thinking about what's underneath me, I can get freaked out. Yeah, you know.
Think like what? You think of maybe a shark?
I don't worry about sharks so much as, I don't know. I don't worry about being eaten by anything. I just worry about some big, gigantic thing under there staring at me, you know.
And thinking what? It wants you? Sure, Phil.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, Phil, come on.
You're talking about food, right?
Well, no, I thought you were talking about something else.
Where is your mind?
Margaret, are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Is he kidding? Where's my mind? You were talking earlier.
No, Margaret, what? I'm not worried about the thing sexually assaulting me.
I've had it, you know. I'm going to go and...
Well, there's a number of things. Get a cigar, go to the bathroom.
Take a walk.
That's a good one.
Well, she's confused.
I don't understand why anybody would be confused over the fact that I say I'm out in the water and it creeps me out thinking about the giant fish that may be underneath me, and I'm not worried about being eaten. So the next thing that Margaret goes to is, what, are you worried about sexual assault? Yeah, by an octopus.
Phil, you're laughing, and the audience may think you find the whole thing terribly funny, the idea of deep-sea sexual assault.
Deep-sea sexual assault.
Oh, Miss Sarah, come on. Miss Gray's very upset.
Oh, well, let her be upset. God. The idea of deep-sea sexual assault, huh? Wow. All right, man.
You having a good time there, Phil?
Yes, I am, Margaret. You know, one of these days you're going to come in here and you're going to have a good time, too. You know that?
I have a good time. I don't like being made to look like the ass end of a horse. Thank you.
I didn't do anything to you. You're the one that brought up sexual assault from underneath the sea. Jeez. Okay, Art Griego's going to join us. Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us. And no Bob McGraw about Jack Benny. I don't want to hear from that guy about... If you want to get somebody else on here about... Where's Mr. Benny himself?
Well, he's very... what do you call it?
He's extremely eccentric and very, media shy.
Oh, is he? Where is this? Is this gentleman from Southeast Asia?
Yeah, he comes from Southeast Asia in the Burma area.
Okay, so at least we're off of Siam and we're into Burma. By the end of this break, folks, this next commercial break, we're going to find out exactly what the name Burma is these days. I don't want to make a big thing out of this search for the missing aircraft. We'll give you some updates when we get Art Griego on here. I don't want to talk about this because, you know, there's people that are on board that aircraft that the families and the loved ones are desperately they're frightened. They're frightened. They can almost guess what's happened, but they're holding out, you know, hope against hope. I understand that they have just asked for them to give DNA so that they will be able to identify whoever or however many of the passengers they find. So it's a very, very, it's emotionally wrenching, and it's also a big, big mystery. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back here. So let's see, we've got Art Griego lined up and Dr. Ron Tarner on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jack Benny.
No, not Jack Benny. Okay. You there?
Yeah, I'm standing by, Phil. And whatever comes our way.
Oh, well, finally.
Finally what?
Well, that bumper music just...
Yeah, anyway, welcome to the show, folks. World famous Phil. Finally, what?
Well, the bumper music goes on and on and on.
Well, yeah. What is the bumper music?
Don't worry, General. Hey, Margaret, I got it under control. Okay.
Oh, really? Like you had that entire topic of deep?
Yeah, the topic of deep sea sexual assault. Yeah, I had it under control.
What, are you kidding me?
Oh, God, bud, you just laughed like someone that hangs around the well and gets water for a penny.
Pool.
All right, let's everybody not insult each other. What does that mean, Margaret? Is he the village idiot, in other words?
I tried to find a less harsh way of saying it, yes.
Well, hanging around the well, getting people water for a penny, you sound like the village moron. Wearing a sackcloth and rags wrapped around your feet with dirt on your lip, sure.
Well, you sound like you know something about it.
You know, if you weren't a woman, I would smack your face so hard, your face would now be buds.
All right.
What's that mean?
Well, what do you think? I'd belt her face so hard.
He's saying that my face would fly off of me and it would land on you.
Where'd my face go?
I guess it would be on me.
No, it would still be on him, only buried under your face.
Bud would be buried. It's a good thing you put it that way.
Hey, Margaret, how come everything with you is a dirty sexual thought?
I beg your pardon. Not everything with me is dirty. The way you clowns put it, the way you sick freaks put it. I'm sorry. I didn't do that on purpose.
Oh, man.
Well, if you weren't making a big deal out of it.
Okay. Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and welcome back to the program. What a weekend. Like I said, we have a week before we begin our new 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time show. Almost forgot. And the clock changed, and if you ain't figured that out by now, then you never will, man. If you haven't changed your clock by now...
Katie Barth, if you haven't changed your clock by now, friend, you're all jacked up.
That's it. So, 1 week from today, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, we begin our new web platform show. Coming on the line with us first off, I want to bring on Dr. Ron Tarner, because we got into a discussion this past Friday, and it had to do with this very far-out concept, one that I don't particularly believe in. I don't think anybody really does. The idea that there is a parallel dimensions, or that aircraft gets lost in the Bermuda Triangle, you know, this kind of thing. Dr. Tarner, thanks for being back with us.
My pleasure, Phil.
Dr. Tarner, do you subscribe to any theory having to do with parallel dimensions, parallel realities?
Well, first of all, remember that no less a personage than Albert Einstein believed that reality does fold back on top of itself. It's very possible that we have parallel realities as it exists because of the theory of relativity, that matter can't create other matter. And that our universe may not be the only universe. Now, when we talk about concepts such as passing from one reality, because that's really what you're talking about, one reality into another reality, then you're getting into something that I don't know that I necessarily agree with.
And that would be this whole concept of the Bermuda Triangle, things like that.
Yeah, well, the wormhole, the Bermuda Triangle. I think those are exciting and interesting science fiction ideas. I dare say they have no basis in any evidence. These are all mathematical theories. One that might say can happen or has happened, I don't know. But until all of the physical realities, the physical dimensional realities that we live in today have been exhausted, and the evidence of those have been exhausted, we cannot assume that we're losing aircraft or ships or people through any kind of a portal such as that.
All right. And joining us also is an experienced pilot from Santa Monica, California, and also a longtime friend of ours, Art Griego, who I know is right now. You're still testing, Art, that aircraft out at Santa Monica?
We've got probably another hour to go here testing. It's actually land speed tests that are going on right now. We don't have a whole lot of space. We've only got probably half the space you would have on a regular drag strip, and certainly not near enough space.
Are you talking, Art, this is Dr. Turner.
Yes, sir.
Are you talking about land speed tests?
We're doing land speed tests, only we're doing a very short track of a land rocket that a friend of mine developed. It's called the Goblin, and it's something that we call it the fuel we put in the fuel. You'll find this funny. We call it the Goblin juice, and
the fuel you put in the Goblin.
Yeah, and it's a land speed rocket, a land rocket that we're going to be testing at the Bonneville salt plants here in the summertime.
All right, so Art, you're a pilot, and that's been mostly your training.
Hold on, just hold the phone here for a minute. You got the clock on him? He didn't have the clock started. Sorry. We're trying to get some time. We're doing time trials.
Art, this is Dr. Turner. You're doing time trials with a stopwatch?
Yes, yeah, we are, Dr. Turner.
Can I recommend something?
Well, we got it under control.
When you're doing a stopwatch, it's not going to be fast enough.
Yeah, we've got it under control.
All right, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this, the idea, the concept.
Hold on. Why don't you tell him to step on it, okay? All right, here's what I believe, Phil, if you've got me on the program. I believe that in aircraft and certainly in boats and any other kind of transport where suddenly it's gone. I've been involved in a number of these. And I remember one particular aircraft that was flown by a very, very dear friend of mine, Joe Turtle. And Joe was lost out over the Pacific Ocean in the Northwest, just off of Seattle, Washington. And this was in 1983. He had been out flying. He'd been given some flying lessons. He was in a small Piper Cub. He turned to come back to the airport, and he lost fuel. And he went down in Puget Sound. And it took probably about 45 minutes for people to understand what had happened because we'd had radio contact with him, but we were also celebrating a friend's birthday. And so we were in the control tower toasting this guy and eating birthday cake, and I went and I had seconds. By the time I noticed that Joe had not checked in, it had been 45 minutes since the last radio call, and he'd gone down in the bay there in Puget Sound off of Seattle.
Well, did you find the aircraft?
But not for a while, because what happened was he inflated a raft that he'd had. It was an emergency raft, and he was paddling in when I looked out the window. So one minute, you know, you're seeing an airplane. The next minute, you see a guy in a raft, and he got out of the raft down near the Coast Guard cutter, which had gone out off the Coast Guard slip. And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "You didn't hear my mayday." I said, "It was loud in there."
Yes, but you see, that's human error, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's human error. There's no question. But Phil was asking about aircraft that disappear, and it can be that, too, you know.
Well, but that's human error. We're not talking about that. We're talking about aircraft that disappears from some kind of unexplained phenomenon. I'm not saying that the current events being what they are, that may explain certain things that are happening in the world, but I'm saying that there has been this discussion of the damn Bermuda Triangle for so long, you know, that it appears to me to be one that certainly is going to be resurrected. I don't buy it. I don't buy that there is UFOs.
You're in a decided minority, Phil. You talk about the Bermuda Triangle. That's something that's, pretty interesting.
Dr. Turner, what do you think?
Oh, I don't. I don't believe that the Bermuda Triangle represents anything other than old wives' tales. I think there's a great many scientific things that can explain the Bermuda Triangle, from rogue waves to disorientation. I don't think there's anything to it. I think that anybody that wants to believe in the Bermuda Triangle is simply, it's Halloween, 24/7, 365 days.
No, I disagree with that. Look, you tell me what happened to Flight 19. There's no explanation whatsoever as to what happened to Flight 19 off of Fort Lauderdale in 1945, December of 45. Five aircraft, Phil. Five aircraft.
I can explain it.
Oh, you can explain it? You can explain... You're saying it didn't get sucked up by UFOs.
I don't think it got sucked up by any...
Well, I'm asking Mr. Henry, the host of the show.
Well, the theory that I heard that I agree with was that the planes went down in the Okefenokee Swamp in southern Georgia, northern Florida, that there were five radar sightings, not five, there were three radar sightings of five aircraft that evening, well after the planes were supposed to have gone down. I mean, some of the evidence points to, or some of the reports are, and that it's very possible these planes turned to the northwest and found themselves running out of gas over the swamp there. And those swamps, you know...
What are you talking about, okay? I'm
telling you what I heard I heard this as a theory.
The Okefenokee Swamp. That's a very interesting theory, Phil. Well, what does that mean, the Okefenokee Swamp? Is that for real? That's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke. It exists, the Okefenokee Swamp.
Well, what was the swamp that the cartoon character Pogo lived in?
Look, I have to take a break, okay?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I think Phil's right. I think the Okefenokee Swamp. You're going to keep pushing this too, huh? I think both of you gentlemen, if there's an Okefenokee Swamp, I stand corrected, but it sounds like a cartoon name.
Okefenokee Swamp exists. We're going to be right back. I may be mispronouncing it, though.
I'll look it up, see if it's called a what, Okefenokee?
Well, you're not talking about the Star Wars character.
The Star Wars character?
Yes.
Oh, you mean Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes.
No. This is a swamp. All right, we're going to be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll get into more of this jive here. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Listen live and mobile there, or live and mobile on TuneIn. Stick around. Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, live, listen live right now on our listen live button on our home site, website, philhendryshow.com, or listen live on TuneIn right this here moment.
People want to know about the pre-show. Is the pre-show free, or what's going on there?
We're rolling music till about 6:30, and then we do our pre-show for our backstage pass members only. So the backstage pass members get all the behind the scenes, all that stuff, you know, during the pre-show. And a lot of other stuff, but not the listen live people. Although during the radio show itself, the audio show, the audio presentation, the webcast.
Well, you're going to have to figure out what you want to call that.
Yeah, Phil, I can see you stumbling and bumbling about for it.
Well, I'm not stumbling and bumbling about. It's the Phil Hendry Web Show, whatever. I don't want to call it a podcast.
Why not?
It sounds sort of wimpy, you know?
Well, welcome to the world of wimps, because that's what you're involved in now, the wimp world.
The wimp world? Well, if this is the wimp world, Ben, I'm happy to be in it, because I'll tell you what, there's a hell of a lot of people online. Bud?
Hey!
Cut. All right. Now, you will notice, when we get back here to Dr. Tarner and we get back to Art Griego, you will notice here is a map on Phil TV at HD. Of the Okefenokee Swamp. You can see it's right on the border of Georgia and Florida. It is south of Savannah. It is to the west and north of Jacksonville, Florida. It's a very, very, you know, obviously a very shrouded and treed and thick area filled with a very, very deep swamp, lots of tree cover. Gosh knows what kind of wildlife, and that brings me in brings to mind the crash of Value Jet. And a lot of people remember that from just outside of Miami in the summer of 1996. With me is not only Art Griego out at Santa Monica Airport, but also Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Do you know what I'm talking about, Art, with the Value Jet?
Well, I heard about Value Jet. Yeah, it's they said something about it being sucked down.
Anytime anybody says anything to me about something getting sucked into the earth, you're telling me that I sound way out there with my theories on the wormhole and the rip in the fabric of reality. And when I was on your program Friday night, I became the butt of a joke, which I'd appreciate if we reference a little bit.
Well, I told Art that it was Annette, that you'd apologize to him for that.
For what?
Well, do you want to...
Phil, you don't remember. You were laughing, you and these other people that you work with, when I said that there was a rip in the slacks. I didn't say slacks. I said the pants of reality.
You said that there was a tear. Hold on. Do you need to?
Yeah, go. Go. Hit the stopwatch. Go. Oh. I got my wife out here. You got to hit the stopwatch right when the car goes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll try it again. When I said there was a rip in the fabric of reality, you were the one that said, you mean like in the pants of reality. And I said, well, if it was in the pants of reality, it would be in the back, in the butt part. It would be a rip in the ass, is what I said, the rip in the ass end of the pants of reality. And that's when all the laughter started. Well, this is Dr. Ron Turner. It seems like you might have let yourself in for that one. I didn't let myself in for anything, Doc. Thank you to just allow me to... This is my life we're dealing with now, not yours. No, but it sounds like you let yourself in for it. I didn't let myself in for anything.
All right, I apologize. Let me just... I apologize, okay?
Oh, I appreciate that.
I thought that... Hold on.
Yeah, everybody, hold on. All right, and start. The stopwatch, honey. My wife... I got to teach her how to use one.
All right, we have Art Griego with us, who is a retired pilot. We have Dr. Ron Turner and Dr. Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Dr. Turner... I was going to say to Art and to yourself that the Value Jet crash in 1996 was very interesting, and it was a very sad and tragic event, but it also illustrated how a swamp like the Everglades can just pull into it even a jet craft that was hurtling toward Earth at a very, very rapid rate of speed. But, I mean, when they eventually got news cameras out there, and they started to, you know, photograph the area, there was no trace of it at all.
Well, Phil, I think that's why it's a very good point that has been made, that perhaps this Flight 19, the famed Bermuda Triangle Flight 19, got sucked down into the Okefenokee Swamp. Hold on. Start the watch now. What do you got? A half a second. No, honey, you got to start the watch. I'm having a problem here. We're trying to get something timed here, Phil.
All right, let me ask you something. When you were contacted by my staff, did they tell you that you would be on the air?
Yes, they did, Phil. It's my fault entirely, because I said yes, I would go on the air. I also knew that we were having these time trials. We've only got about 300... Here it comes again. Did you start it? Honey, can I hold on for a minute, Phil?
No, I got to get going.
All right. I'm sorry what the question was.
The question, you're contacted by my... all right, never mind.
I was contacted by your staff. That's why I'm talking to you.
All right. Dr. Ron Turner with us. And so what about that, though? What about the idea that the swamp, in this case, the Okefenokee Swamp, is such a thick, deep, dark, and very, lush and covered area, that any aircraft can be pulled into that? Now, let's talk about the Flight 19. Those were not supersonic aircraft. They were a prop airplane. But nonetheless, they were traveling, they would have been traveling at a very high rate of speed if they were just falling out of the sky, right?
Well, Phil, I would think that the pilots by that point, knowing that they were running out of fuel, would have no choice but to try to bring the aircraft down. And what they were coming down in was, as you mentioned, this swamp area. There is no way that you're going to land an aircraft in the Okefenokee Swamp without running into a number of very, very thick-covered trees. And once the aircraft begins to break up in that environment, you're going to have those pieces of that aircraft and other debris sinking very rapidly. And as you saw with the...
You got to start the time, my wife. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and so you're going to have, as we saw with Value Jet, obviously there's alligator life. It can be quite a daunting and frightening environment.
Yeah, so that's what I think about that, Art. So does that make you think that there's some, you know, tear in the ass, in the pants of reality?
Well, I think that that's unfair. When I said there was a rip in the pants of reality, what I said was there was a tear in the fabric of reality, and it was one of you guys. Either it was Dickman or it was...
I think it was me, and I'm sorry, Mr. Riegel, but when you said a tear in the fabric of reality, I said, well, like a tear in the underwear? And you said more like a pant. And I said, all right, and you said it's a tear in the ass of the pants.
It was a tear in the ass into the pants of reality. Huh? All right, go. Start the watch. Where's the watch? You got to get it out of the car, honey. My wife has been helping me, Phil.
Yeah, so I've been hearing, and she doesn't sound like she's helping you too much.
No, she doesn't do this ordinarily. You got to get the watch out of the car. You got to be holding the watch so that when you see the big, fast car. No, honey, it's a land. That rocket, yeah. It's not a car. My wife thinks it's a car. Do you want us to, this is Dr. Turner, I'd be happy to fill in where you can. Oh, I got it, Turner, don't worry, I'm talking to my own wife, so hold on. I don't mean anything by it.
All right, hold, it's fine, Dr. Turner. So have you got it under control there, Art?
Yeah, honey, when the car, it's not a regular car, it's a land jet, and it looks like a big rocket, only it's running on the ground, on wheels. And when you see it go by, start that button there. That will start the stopwatch, okay? Yeah, all right, I think she's got it, Phil.
All right. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for being with me. We are...
Wait. Are you telling me you're out of time now? Here it comes. That, right there. It's the jet right there. Yes. She thought she was waiting for a Volkswagen or something. Honey, it's a land jet.
I'm going to let you go, Art.
You're going to let me go, yeah. Okay, thanks a lot. You know, I got to check.
And Dr. Turner, thank you.
All right, Phil.
So,
once again, two guests, not one, and you didn't get anything figured out.
I got plenty figured out. I got a doctor agreeing with me, and I agree with that one guy that I saw that those five planes went down in the Okefenokee Swamp.
The Okefenokee Swamp, that's a hot one.
Bill, you sure it's,
Yeah, I'm sure it exists. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where you can hear us right now on our website, listening live on your mobile for free, or tune in mobile. Okay, so we got to get to, it to some degree, the story, because it's a mystery, and I don't know. This Malaysia Airlines jet that had taken off Saturday a.m., was it? It took off Saturday morning at 12:41 a.m. from Kuala Lumpur, was due into Beijing at 6:30 a.m. So it's you know about a six-hour flight from Malaysia to China, to the capital of China. And the plane loses radio contact, everything. There's no distress call. There's no mayday. There's nothing. Simply gone. They lose radio contact. 239 people. The pilots never signaled any trauma or danger of any kind. They lost radio contact between Malaysia and Vietnam. So they were not that far out of Kuala Lumpur when it happened. It happened over this body of water that is called the Gulf of Thailand, I believe. By the way, I understand it's Bloomberg, so I'm not necessarily faulting them, but it is the most accessed news story of all of the news stories on this aircraft, and it's the page here with the Malaysia Airlines story, and they're showing you the stock price, you know.
Well, Phil wanted, people want to know what the stock price is.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just, I'm not complaining. What I'm doing is, this is where people always miss the hints about human nature. This is where we always, we act so surprised when things happen that are terrible, and we never take into consideration the everyday clues that we get about human nature. The everyday clues that we get about human nature. Why would this be the number one access story, the Bloomberg story? Why are people more concerned with their money, their stock prices? Why is this to people, a lot of people, why is this simply the representation of a stock price instead of the deaths of 239 people? I'm not saying that you're not going to change those people. I don't want to do anything to change those. You can't change people like that. You're never going to change people like that. People that are more interested in stock price of an airline than the actual catastrophe are always going to be that way. I'm not here to judge them. I'm here to say to all of us, myself included, let's start dealing with reality instead of these fantasies that we go through, okay? Let's start. I think we watch too much Oprah and we don't watch enough Bloomberg.
Well, you just got done saying that that was a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't get you, Mr. Henry. How do you figure?
Well, I'll tell you, bud.
Jesus, this sounds like Mr. Wizard or a commercial, an infomercial for a jockstrap or something, for God.
Well, don't sound like a jockstrap.
Wait. How do I figure? I'll tell you. You know, we live in a world where we always complain about the way it should be and it isn't. We never deal with the way it is. We would go further if we just dealt with things, how things are. We would go further in solving the everyday problems of life than to constantly be complaining about the bad way that it is. You take a look at this story about the Bloomberg showing us the stock price, and we all react the way I sort of just reacted until I kind of slapped myself, you know.
No, Phil, don't put yourself in the minority of really smart people. You reacted that way.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I didn't react that way. What I'm saying is, when I thought about it, I thought, wait, what am I complaining about? I got to start accepting life the way it is, and I have to deal with it on that level. People, for whatever reason, there's a lot of them, maybe most of them, the number one website to access this Malaysia story is the Bloomberg site. That's a financial site. People are going to see what happened to their stock price on the Malaysia Airlines. Does that trouble you? Well, who cares? That's the reality. So when we look at that and we say, oh, gosh, that's really bad, rather than say, well, you know, that's how it is, we say that's really bad, and we're always taken by surprise when the next bad thing happens. For instance, if somebody starts to short stocks, if someone does what they did in 2008 and begins to manipulate the system so that we're all losing money and the entire economy almost crashes, we won't be so shocked because we know there's swine out there that are looking to beat the market any way they possibly can, no matter what the situation. While you and I are sitting here crying about 239 people who have died, and yeah, that's a bad thing.
Are you asking me to lose my humanity because there's some, as you put it, Phil, swine, some low-living, crawling sludge, something that I would, ordinarily, I'd have it stuck?
Yeah, it'd be stuck in the crack.
I didn't say that.
Right, hold on. I'm saying that what you got to do is understand that this is the world we live in. And be aware that we've got people like this. We have people out there, a hell of a lot of them, man, a lot more than you think, who are more concerned about what happened to the Malaysia Airlines stock price than those people. Now, you can sit here and cry about it and say, gee, what a terrible world, and how can there be people like that, and oh, my goodness gracious gosh. Or just say, hey, you know, the jungle's full of all kinds of animals, and there's one that's an animal that we got to avoid. That's a predator. That's something we got to be aware of. And then continue on our merry way down the path.
Oh, I get it. So in other words, life is just a stroll through a jungle, and every now and again something leaps out of the bush and tries to claw my face off? No. No, I don't accept that, Mr. Henry. I want to go into the bush, find it, kill it, spear it, and have it for dinner.
Yeah, that's what I'd say, Mr. Henry. Mr. Shaw.
It's General Shaw, you clout.
General Shaw.
I understand. You agree with him. I understand. You guys are beating your heads against the wall. If you're gonna go at life, every time you see something bad, you want to do battle with it and destroy it. And yeah, sure, that's what we want to do. But the bigger picture here is knowing how to deal with it in the short term, knowing how to accept, well, this is where it is. This is how it is. I feel bad about these people. I feel bad about this jet. Where are they? What happened to them? To me, it's a human tragedy. But to some people, and probably more than we really want to imagine, it's simply a stock price, you know? And until we think that those people, you know, we think those people are in a minority and it doesn't really matter. Those people are the ones that caused 2008.
What are you saying now, Phil? You ought to lay down before you fall down.
No. Those are the people that caused 2008. Sure, there's all kinds of other contributing factors, but those scumbags are the ones that were dishing out those cheap mortgages. Those scumbags were the ones that were trying to beat the guy across the street and handing out mortgages to people that couldn't afford to pay back a loan on a gumball, let alone a house. Those are the guys that were shorting the stocks. Those are the guys that were defrauding and Ponzi scheming and everything else. They're the guys that, had they not existed, the problems of 2008 would have been far less than they turned out to be.
Well, brother, you have got to go a long way to prove that one to me.
Yeah, I'm saying that's those are tall words.
No, I agree with Phil. Now that I hear what he's saying, I think you're onto something there, Phil.
You're trying to tell me that a handful of douchebags drove the entire world to the brink of disaster. I'll have none of it.
Well, okay. Thank you very much, Sandra Bernhardt.
It's Sarah Bernhardt, not Sandra. Sandra's the one with the big nose. Oh, brother.
All right, well, whoever. But that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. All right, we're going to come back to and take a look at that. We already had Art Griego butcher it up and Dr. Ron Turner.
What do you want to look at, man?
I just wanted to see. I'll give you the right now. I'll just tell you that they don't have any idea. They have no idea. The pilots never signaled any problem. With today's technology, according to sources, it's unusual for a plane to vanish without a distress call. When they do disappear, it's typically because of an event such as a massive engine failure or an explosion. That would create, however, widely scattered debris, and search teams haven't been able to recover any remnants. So that leaves only one answer, in my opinion, that the debris it landed in some swamp. That the plane was hijacked and is someplace on an airstrip somewhere.
What, are you kidding or something, man? That's impossible. There'd be all kinds of jets that would be scrambled.
Jets that would be scrambled, huh?
Well, what Butt is saying in his moron way is, how do you hide a plane like that?
I'll tell you. If the radio contact ceases, if the transponder's off, if somehow the plane goes below radar or whatever, because I've seen enough movies about that where they go down low. You remember that one, General?
Why, in 30 Seconds Over Tokyo is classic.
Yeah. So it goes in low, sweeps in just over top of the housetops, you know.
Oh, why don't you guys? Tell you what, Phil, we'll open up the treehouse later and you and General could go play war.
Margaret, that's dirty pool. I'm telling you, there are ways of doing it.
I don't know whether it happened that way or not. But, all right, we'll be back on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with more of this exciting speculation. Okay? Don't forget, 1 week from tonight, we start a new time, 9 a.m. Pacific, daylight time, the new Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Now, I had all kinds of people talking to me over this past weekend. I was talking about what happened to our background there.
Oh, you were in a very... It looked like you were doing the Charlie Rose show.
Yeah, it looked like the Kevin Bacon chat show you did.
What Kevin? You mean Kevin Pollak?
Oh, yeah, Kevin Pollak.
What a moron, man. Kevin Pollak, that guy, he's number one, man.
Yeah, Kevin's great guy. Kevin Bacon. Kevin Pollak, who... Yeah, we did Kevin Pollak's chat show. That was a blast. That was a blast.
Boy, that's the last time you'll be on that show.
Why's that?
Well, I mean, he's got bigger fish to fry. His show's gotten a lot bigger now.
Oh, I see. So I was on it when it was small. His show was huge back then. He just had Tom Hanks on, though, didn't he?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. He just interviewed Tom Hanks. So how about that? I was interviewed on the same show that Tom Hanks has been interviewed on. So.
Well, Phil, let's not start blankety-blanking each other's blank just yet.
Margaret, you're quoting the movie Pulp Fiction. That's nothing a woman should quote. What a filthy thing to quote.
I had to go there just to get Phil out of his reverie.
I'm not spacing out on it. All right, I do want to talk about we'll go back to this flight in Malaysia. It's a crazy thing, man, because this Malaysian flight, they have stolen passports. They've got it's weird. And
what suppose that'll hijack?
I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't know. You know, look. It's possible. Let's say that was hijacked. Why does it explode? Well, because one of the hijackers does indeed have a bomb. Unlike 9/11, where they did not have real bombs, these guys are willing to blow I'm just theorizing now. Now, every hijacker today must know going in that the passenger revolt is a very real thing. It happened. You know, the floodgates on that opened with Flight 93. So any hijacker who hijacks an aircraft now has got to believe that he's going to have to deal with passengers on some level. So that bomb that guy's holding, it's going to have to be real if he's holding a bomb.
Well, why would he hold a bomb and blow the plane? What are they hijacking the aircraft for?
That's a good question. They're hijacking the aircraft to fly it into something, unless the passengers do revolt and then they blow it up, you know.
Well, that's one hell of a fast rule. The plane, how many minutes outside of the aircraft was it?
Outside of the what?
I mean, the airport.
I don't know. I mean, it took off. It was out over the Gulf of Thailand. It was not that far along in its flight toward Beijing. I'm sure I can find it here. Nonetheless, it was not too far from the originating airport when it went off the radar and radio contact was lost. This is what I'm thinking. They lost the radio contact, and there was no distress call, so it was a sudden traumatic event. You know, it was a sudden event that was devastating, a major malfunction, as they like to say in the world of the technocrats and you know, the guys that do this for a living. So it must have been something sudden. If it's an explosion, then it was either the aircraft blew up because of a malfunction, and those stolen passports had nothing to do with anything other than a couple of guys trying to, you know, get a free ride on stolen passports, and that's very possible. But why no debris? You know, well, there's no debris because it fell down over this swamp is what I keep going to, you know. Because the value jet thing, as I was saying to Nikki, and as I said to Dr. Tarner and to Art Griego and to anybody that would listen.
Yeah, you know, and we've heard it already, Phil.
Wait, the audience hasn't heard it. Value jet, when it went down in the summer of 96, it went down at a high rate of speed, and it went right into the swamp, and it disappeared. And I'm telling you, it disappeared. I saw the photographs, the news photographers, the video cast, videographers were there. Live television feeds were there. You did not see a trace of an aircraft. There were guys on airboats, and they were going very, very slowly through the area that they believed the jet had gone down in. Man, there was nothing there. And then gradually it began to yield. I believe there was a seat cushion came up. And the most frightening thing of the entire visual experience was looking at those gliding alligators, you know, with the eyes just above the muck as they're sailing along there in the water. And the commentators were saying, you know, these creatures are not stupid, and they know when there is something up. So, or when there's, you know, there's a possible source of food, as horrid as that sounds. Maybe they were looking at the guys in the airboats. I don't know. But there wasn't any trace of an aircraft. I mean, there was nothing. And that's what a thick and deep and old swamp like the Everglades, Okefenokee, we were talking about with Flight 19, and quite possibly some of this this rainforest that is in the area where this jet might have gone down, Thailand, Kuala Lumpur, you know, Cambodia, places like that, Vietnam, places that have some backcountry and some rainforest, man. It's just, you know, they don't fight. It doesn't yield things for years, for decades. That's what I think happened. That's my own personal point of view. I can, you know, my mind, I don't believe that that's carved in stone, but I mean, come on, you know, if you're not finding it over water, what's the next logical place?
Well, that would mean over land, but if it was over land, you would have seen a plume of smoke or something. It would have blown up, and there would have been smoke for miles. Why, even that asteroid that landed in Russia, there were a couple of, I think they were reindeer herders or people that were farming reindeer at the time, which was very big, and they reported the reindeer flipping their lid. I don't know, that's not what the term you use.
You mean the reindeer got spooked?
Well, I don't want to use the word spook.
Well, what are you saying, General?
Wait, hold on. What do you mean reindeer was big at that time?
I don't know. All I'm telling you is when the comet hit Russia, all bets were off, and the reindeer got spooked. Now, that's all I'm telling you.
Okay, well, the comet that hit Russia made a big-ass sound, and it was heard for thousands of miles, and it flattened the forest, and there was reports coming out of that area for years after that something happened. You can imagine, folks, how remote that was. That comet that hit the Soviet Union, or at that time it was still Russia, it was prior to World War I. The actual eyewitness accounts of that did not start surfacing until 10 years after it happened.
Well, why is that?
Because it was way to hell back in Siberia, man. It was way to hell. It happened in an area that was so sparsely populated, you know.
What are you talking about, so sparse? There's not a place on Earth where there ain't a person standing there, at least. Gotta be one guy standing there.
So there's one guy standing there.
That proves it.
But just because there's one guy, what do you mean there's got to be one guy standing there?
On the whole earth, nothing can, there's got to be at least one guy hanging around, you know, who knows, making a phone call, well, not making a phone call, you know, but...
Making a phone call, huh?
One guy?
Okay, let's say there's at least one guy somewhere in the vicinity of something happening on the face of the earth. Now what?
Okay, then the comet landed, and he goes, yay, I saw that.
Great. Who's he saying that to?
He could say it on a phone.
Oh, really? In 1906 or 08, you know, Russia?
Okay, so then it drives.
Ain't no cars back then, man. Not that many.
Yeah, there were, man. No cars back then.
Not in Siberia? Come on, man. Start thinking about it, will you? This is the backwater of Russia. This is, people are, it might as well be the 15th century back there. They got mules. They got whatever the hell they got.
All right, they get on a mule and they ride out for help. The guy says, go get help.
Yeah, go get help. It's going to take that dude months, probably, on a freaking horse. Maybe not months, but weeks. And who knows what happens to the guy between... Who knows? He might have gotten sidetracked.
Well, what do you mean sidetracked?
I don't know. Maybe he got killed. Maybe... I don't know. And again, you're talking about people that are... They're simple people, man. I mean, we're not... You got to understand something. You know, they don't know what they saw. Who are they going to go talk to? You know, they're going to go find the army? They're not even really all that cool with the authorities. These are tribal people. The less contact they have with authorities, the better. You know.
What are you talking about, Phil? People should not be afraid of the police authority.
Come on, General. These are people from the backwoods of Russia. This is Siberia. These cats are still dancing around a campfire singing songs to their ancestors. They don't know anything about...
What?
Okay, forget it.
Well, I still say, man, at least one guy could have seen it.
We ain't saying that a guy didn't see it. There's people that came out of Russia and they saw it. And they reported it. But it took years. Because one guy tells another guy sits down at the campfire, he farts, he has some reindeer meat, he's going, I don't know. Well, what do the guys say? Well, something blew up, out of hell with it. Yeah, okay, let's have some more reindeer meat. And,
let's have some more reindeer meat. So they're sitting there, cutting a few. You make the Russian peasant sound so trivial, Phil, and I think it's very unfair.
Yeah, okay, Margaret, so sorry. We're going to be right back.
But don't be so sarcastic.
Look, you guys, there's a lot more at work here than just some simple people not doing their civic duty. Those cats, they don't think in terms of those kinds of things. And by the way, neither would we. All right.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, I just said it. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We are live and mobile on our Listen Live line there at philhenryshow.com. And we're also live and mobile on TuneIn. So check us out. They are. 1 week from today, we are on the web.
Because of that.
All right. Frank Gray is going to join us here. Frank Gray, prominent attorney and, of course, the husband of Margaret Gray on our newsmaker line in Beverly Hills or Santa Monica tonight. Frank, good evening.
How you doing, young man?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm better than Custer, Phil.
And Frank, Margaret has her theory. Margaret, why don't you tell us?
I think what happened here, Frank, very simply, is that this was the plane blowing up. Now, I know from experience, you know from the news, this wouldn't be the first time. And I think what happened was the stolen passports are simply I think those are just a coincidence, and I think that the plane had, as Phil has said, a major malfunction and blew up in midair.
I don't know any better than anybody else. I'm an attorney. I'm not an aviation authority, although as a man, I suppose you could say I know more about it than I, you know, I love my wife, but he's going to react. I know how you're going to react, Margaret. He's going to say I'm being a sexism pig.
Well, a sexist pig, yes.
All right, well, I'm telling you that as a man, I probably have a better handle on it, and I'm not trying to make a joke either. I believe that this was terrorism, and I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Why don't you think this could be a major malfunction, as Phil puts it, an explosion?
I told you I'm a man, and I got a handle on it, and let me say something.
Frank, this isn't any time to make your jokes, all right?
I'm not making a joke. You know that I've told you And we've had this argument before, Phil. I try to tell him, as a man, I gotta put my hand on it because of the experience that men have. And he tells me that I'm making jokes and I should have my mouth cleaned out with a big bag of soap or however he puts it.
All right, I'm lost. What are you talking about?
You're lost. He says that he thinks that this was a plane blowing up because the wiring went haywire, or it was like on the Apollo 13 when Jim Lovell was blowed into space, out into when she and the rest of the astronauts almost got blowed up. And I said to him that I don't believe that. I believe that this is a hijacking. Now, he says to me that he doesn't agree, and I say, I got a handle on it because I'm used to, you know what I'm saying, Phil, right? I don't think there's a man out there.
No, I don't know what you're saying.
No.
Well, there's three men in that studio. Now, somebody, or no, there's four men in that studio. Someone has got General Shaw, she knows. Don't you, General?
I don't know what you're talking about, Gray. I have no idea. What do you mean you got a handle on it?
Because of the fact that as men, we generally got to grab something once a day. Okay, there I said it.
Oh, God, you are such a child. You know something? Anything to be a big baby.
Are you listening to him? This is one of the reasons why I married him, because he's honest. But also the reason why I regret marrying him, because he's honest. You know?
Frank, you are such a child.
I'm not kidding. I told you I wasn't kidding. He don't believe me. You know?
All right, Frank, so in other words, we got a handle on things because that's what we spend most of our time doing.
Bingo. Bingo. We got most of our time that is what we spend. We got a handle on things.
Well, you just went backwards on that one, Frank. You want to take another run at it?
No, I don't feel like taking another run on it. I'm telling you that what he's saying is very, very unlikely. But I will tell you this, Margaret. Do you want to bet on it?
Do I want to bet what?
Let's put some money on it. Let's quit talking about it. You think it was a catastrophic malfunction of the aircraft itself, and I believe that it was a terrorist attack, and I say we put money on it, and we put money on it now, and I'd like it to be a significant amount of money.
All right, I tell you what, you want it to be five figures?
Now you're talking my talk. Now you're talking turkey. Now you're talking my language. Okay, let's go. Let's go low.
All right, let's make it an even $10,000.
You're on. Oh, God.
Yeah, now he's remembering where I get my money. He gives me an allowance.
Can we go back on that?
Well, just better anyway, okay? What difference does it make?
Because it ain't any money that I'm going to be winning. All the money he has, he gets from me. Because I give him an allowance.
How much allowance do you give him? I mean her.
I don't... That's none of your business.
Yeah, Phil, that's really none of your business.
But I can tell you, it's four figures a week. It's a very healthy four figures a week. And for that, I expect a little something. I think you know what I'm talking about, too. And,
You don't have to get into that, Frank.
Well, either I take it out of you one way or I get it out of you another. So, if it means I get a cash rebate, all right, let's talk about that. And
Frank, you are the lowest thing there is. You know that I am a woman to you.
Yeah, you are. But sometimes I need a little something more. And I think lately in that department, I deserve a cash rebate.
Why don't you go straight?
What did he say? What did he say, Phil?
No, I'd go straight to... And she just got up and walked out.
Well, you're scared that he's been doing that ever since I married him. But I love him.
Okay, Frank, good luck, man. I mean, not good luck. I don't even care about your bet. Thank you and goodbye.
Well, wait a minute. Don't get pissed off.
So that's wonderful. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Jesus. All right, what were we talking about? This is far better than...
You want to talk about the autobiography?
Yes. Yes. I am now commencing a project which could be of interest. It may not be of interest. But it's an autobiography. A lot of people have wanted me to write something, maybe having to do with my life, maybe not. I don't know that I have a story to tell that's all that exemplary or interesting. However, people have asked for something, so I've been thinking about it. And for some reason, the title... In Your Wildest Hallucinations, sort of congealed in my mind. You just came in just to sit down and make sure I see you yawn?
Well, I went out to get myself something to drink. I came in, I heard what you were talking about, and I yawned. It doesn't mean what you're saying is bad. I'm just saying it made me yawn.
You know, Margaret, just because it isn't about you...
Yeah, thank you, General.
Just because it isn't about you, You know?
Oh, I see. You think I'm a big, fat ego case. You think I'm a walking tub of ego on a petite frame.
No, we think you're a walking tub of ego on a larger, well, not big.
Get him to kick your...
Hey, wait, watch it. Watch it now. Listen, bud, you know when you say stuff like that, you're just begging for it.
Yeah, but a man's got to say what a man got to say.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that so much, John Wayne. I'll take that under advisement, as you like to say, bud.
All right, can I finish? What I was going to say was, so I commenced today the writing of this. Now, the first thing that I did, because I want to get some family history, is I started looking into my mother and my father and my father's military service, and I went into a lot of that and the history of the family before I was even born.
Well, Phil, you don't want this to be a project that is so historically, shall we say, historically caked out, I think is what the kids call it, that it becomes cumbersome or tiresome. I think you want it to... Any autobiography needs to leap along, to sprint along, as if it's leaping and sprinting. I know that that's a ridiculous...
Well, you want it to be an easy read, is what you're saying.
An easy read, but an interesting read, yes. And that's why I like to think of a good read as being something that you're frolicking... Well, yeah, you're dancing through, something like that.
Well, I don't know about that.
But you haven't... Have you ever read a book? Have you... I know you've read things, but have you read things... that you could put together into a book?
Yeah, I have. I've read newspaper articles that someday, if I read enough of them, you could make a book out of it.
Yes, yeah, someday if you read enough of them, that's... How long do you think that'll be, bud?
A few more years.
Great.
All right. I think that... I appreciate what you're saying, Margaret. Now, we're going to give a little family history, and then we will launch into... Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do it, man. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. But here's what I thought. Rather than asking yourself, is my life interesting, just write the damn thing, you know? And if it is, it is. If it ain't, it ain't, you know? And if there's takers, there's takers. If there's not, there's not. You see what I'm saying?
Well, no, I don't see what you're saying.
You're saying, Mr. Andrew, write it down even if it's boring?
Yeah, write it down even if it's boring. Why not? Everybody ought to do it. Everybody should write their autobiography. Everybody should write the story of their life. Everyone.
Wait a second, Henry. Why, we'd be inundated with the most... clown-like, plod-like, plod and garbage, why, we'd never get through a day.
No, I think everybody should write the history of their lives. Everyone should practice that. If I was emperor, if I was king, if I could enforce one thing, if I could force people into one thing, I would force people to keep a daily journal of their lives. They would have to, every single solitary day, they would have to write at least 2 pages on what happened that day. It would have to be legible, and it would have... And if they didn't, I would have them executed by firing squad.
Oh, stop it.
Well, no. I mean, this is a fantasy. You know, this is just...
No, would this be something if you could have anything you wanted?
Yes, if I could have anything I wanted, I would summarily execute people that don't do what I want them to do. Bud.
Yay!
Cut. So, yeah, that's what I would do.
I'll get back to the other thing, too.
Yeah, about the women on the desert island. All right, on the desert island, I was going to say. Okay, that having been dispensed with, let's take a break and come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and, of course, online at TuneIn as well. We'll find out. We'll update you guys on this story, this Malaysia jet mystery. The facts not adding up. Let's see, who's this? Edward Snowden urges Americans to learn to protect identities from the government. I guess Snowden... Did he do a Reddit interview today or something like that? What was the...
I think he was on Comedy Central.
Comedy Central? Oh, he's at South by Southwest. Well, what...
That's great.
He was what?
He was behind 7 proxies so that he couldn't be located. He was on video at South by Southwest.
Now, South by Southwest is a music and comedy festival, right?
It's one of those festivals like Comic-Con and all
that. What has he got to do with anything having to do with that?
Well, it's information sharing.
Yeah. All right, so let's check it out. Find out what Mr. Snowden said today at the South by Southwest here. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and see whatever else the heck we can find, man. I don't know, but we'll see. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. No, bud, no.
That's the thing.
No, it ain't aliens, all right? It ain't aliens. I'm off the whole, we're not going to talk anymore about it, okay? They haven't found these people. I don't want to talk anymore about it.
But what do you think of the whole alien?
No, there's no aliens, there's no aliens, there's no aliens. And I told you that Bermuda Triangle is not aliens, and that's all there is to it.
All right, so for you to dismiss what so many people believe, I just...
No, it's there's no aliens, you know.
Well, you're dismissing what hundreds of millions of Americans, or not hundreds of hundreds of millions of aliens, have believed.
Hundreds of millions of aliens?
I mean, hundreds of millions of Earthlings, Earth people, you know, people, humans, in other words, and the alien.
I don't care what I'm dismissing. There's no aliens, there's no space people, and they didn't take the aircraft, and I'm not going to engage in that. Oh, by the way, I just saw him on television here doing a promotion. Wild Bill Guinier passed on, a member of the 101st Airborne, one of the Band of Brothers featured, and I believe he was in his 90s. I don't know his exact age, but he was featured in a great number of documentaries and reports on those exploits of the Band of Brothers, the Charlie Company of 101st Airborne Division in World War II. He just passed on over the weekend in his 90s. Tough old guy, man, and there's one less of them.
Yeah, well, the World War II veterans are dying at the rate of 1,000 a week, Phil.
Well, by that point, there not going to be anybody left in no time at all.
Well, in no time at all. I mean, yeah, they're going, and they're going very, very rapidly. So you should, if you know a World War II veteran, you should talk to them. You should get their story. And I'm just talking about the ones that would like to tell it. And also, don't listen to anybody I'm sorry to have to say this, but I'm going to say it. Don't listen to any self-described veteran on Facebook. See what I'm saying? When some guy says, well, I'm a veteran, and let me tell you how things are, I would take that with a grain of salt. Because I remember on Memorial Day, I said, you should talk to a veteran. And here come two or three of these guys saying, oh, we don't want anybody talking to us. And I remember thinking, I don't know who you guys are, and I could care less. So, you know, if you think you know who a veteran is, first of all, find out if he really is one. And there's ways of finding that out. And then talk to them directly. But
well, Phil, you're on Facebook a lot.
Yeah, because we're promoting the show. But that's how I know about this. I mean, I'm on Facebook a lot because we do a lot of promotion there for the radio show. And in the process, you're dealing with a lot of people. You're talking to a lot of people. And some people, Facebook is a place like any other place, any other social media. It's a place where you can be something you're not, if you want to be. You can be anything you want to be. You can be, I don't know, you know, a test pilot, a veteran, a cop, any kind of superhuman, anything you want to be, you know. And you can be anonymous. You can be well-known. So you have to understand that when you're talking to people over there and make sure that you are clear as to who the hell it is you're talking to. That's all I'm trying to say. I didn't mean to mess up my conversation here about veterans. All right, so Snowden urges Americans to learn to protect identities online, declaring that the U.S. government is setting fire to the future of the Internet by spying on Americans and being unaccountable for that. Former national security, setting fire to the future of the Internet.
Yeah, because you won't be able to even be able to be on the Internet anymore.
Okay. Former national security, that's another thing. Eric Snowden's a guy that had a whole lot of files. I don't know anything about this guy other than the fact that he grabbed a bunch of files, he grabbed a bunch of stuff, he made a bunch of stuff available to people. I don't know whether this guy himself is of any particularly high level of intelligence. I don't know if he's got any, you know, ability to analyze the world beyond just taking a piece of paper and scanning it, but I don't know if he really knows the world in a subjective sense in a very intelligent way.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Eric Snowden, whether this guy's got 5 cents worth of real brains or is he just some guy who's a really efficient little bureaucrat, a little technocrat. Speaking from Russia, where he turned up after leaving his NSA eavesdropping station in Hawaii last year with classified government information and leaking some of it to The Guardian and The Washington Post, Snowden spoke to a capacity audience of about 3,000 at the exhibit hall at the Austin Convention Center. It was the same venue in which WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange spoke via Skype on Saturday. A copy of the U.S. Constitution appeared behind Snowden on the large screen. Like Assange, he offered few clues about his life in exile and gave no hints about how long he plans to stay in Russia. Speaking of internet freedom and knowing things, this guy's being really cute, isn't he?
Well, now, wait just a minute, Phil. That's dirty pool, as the general would like to say.
Wait, why is that? If this guy wants internet freedom, where's he staying?
Well, Phil, he's trying to protect himself from being outed.
Oh, he's in Russia, man. Who's going to get to him? You see what I'm saying? If he's in Russia and he's being protected by the Russian government, and I'm not talking about the U.S. government. The U.S. government could find out where this guy is, like, tomorrow. But I'm talking about just you and me. Why can't we know where he is?
Well, you know he's in Russia.
Then what's he hiding from? He's got the Russian government protect. What? He doesn't want me to have his address. Am I going to get on a plane and fly there and knock his door down and rob him? What is he talking about? You know.
You don't want to be doxxed.
Doxxed. This cat, everyone knows where this guy, what country he's in. I'm assuming that at least two major governments know where he is. All right, so he offered few clues about his life in exile, gave no hints about how long he plans to stay in Russia. Instead, he and moderators Chris Sagoyan and legal counsel Ben Wisner, both of the ACLU, kept the focus on how private citizens can protect their online identities and how companies can be doing more to protect their customers' identities. And they figured that SXSW, that is South by Southwest, with its young, tech-savvy audience, was the right forum to make their case. South by Southwest and the tech community, the people in this room in Austin, they're the folks who can fix this, Snowden said. There's a political response that needs to occur, but there's also a tech response that needs to occur. Encryption, a process that makes it harder for would-be spies to decipher information, is the key, they said. If customer encryption, they've been using encryption for years. That doesn't necessarily.
What's encryption?
Encryption is simply scrambling. It's using a scrambled language. It's using a different language, using a spy language, using symbols, and making those symbols something that they cannot be deciphered is the key. But they've been unscrambling encrypted messages since they invented encrypted messages. So I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe there's some kind of new.
Maybe it's a company.
Yeah, maybe they encrypt in the name of a company.
What do you mean, maybe it's a company?
That's the name of the company.
Now, encryption, I don't see it being the name of it. It says here encryption, a process. Encryption, a process that makes it harder for would-be spies to decipher information. Yeah, that's a pretty good definition. Encryption is simply using symbols, all kinds of scrambled up symbols that mean something to the sender and to the receiver, but not to anybody else seeing it in between. They said if customers and companies use encryption, it would make the bulk collection of digital information, which the NSA documents exposed, more expensive and time intensive. You notice they didn't say it would make getting that information impossible. Yeah.
Well, so they can't guarantee it? The hell with it.
No, they can't guarantee it because any encryption can be deciphered. So here, there's something you can use. How about decipher instead of encryption?
What if they use decipher?
Yeah, they can use decipher to decipher their own encryption. How about that? It's a hard word. All right, we'll be back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. This is Monday, man. You know what? Mondays can be anything. We'll be back.
Yeah, all right.
Take it easy, bud, okay?
Let's play jazz. I'll play jazz.
Anyway, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. You want to play jazz?
Yeah, like drums and everything.
Well, I doubt seriously, bud, whether you would ever come up to this level. This is the great Joe Morello playing the drum. Frank and I knew him very briefly.
Joe Morello? Did Frank know him?
And I did, too.
Yeah, Joe Morello was fantastic. Joe Morello, I understand, had big, thick Coke bottle glasses.
Yes, Joe was a little nearsighted, but he really, as Frank used to say, he could really massage those skins.
Yeah, well.
How do you know Frank was talking about drums?
You know something? You are a crude, sick creep. I don't care if you are a general. A dirty, crude, sick creep.
Oh, Margaret, you love it. You love it no end.
You know something? Never mind. I was going to talk about... You're
going to talk about what, Margaret?
I'm not going to say it now.
Come on. I swear to God, man. Give Margaret a break.
I was going to talk about, as a girl, I wanted to learn how to blow one of those. Oh, see? Come here, buddy.
Hey! Ow, 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 ow!
I didn't touch you, you little... One of these days, bud, I am going to touch you.
Yeah, you'll love that.
You know something? You deserve everything you get, bud.
You wanted to put your lips around one of these, huh?
You know, General, one of these days, I will lose my respect for our men in uniform, and I'll give you a roundhouse kick. The only good news, when I throw a roundhouse kick, you can generally see up my skirt before the lights go out. I'm Margaret Gray. Woo! That's right, read it and weep.
Good one, Margaret. Anyway,
what'd she say?
She said when she throws a roundhouse kick, the good news is you can see up her skirt before the lights go out.
I don't find anything funny about that at all, Mr. Henry. Quit exaggerating your laugh. Going, you sound like a goon.
Hey, it was funny. Turn it down, bud, will you? Okay, enough with the Joe Morello. Thank you, Mr. Morello. God bless you, sir. Your service to the jazz. Your service to the jazz world. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, online at TuneIn as well. We are live and we're mobile, Jack. And as I said, we have a primer on our Facebook fan page that'll teach you sort of how to dial us in. And it's not that big of a thing.
You're having to re-educate people, though, Phil. The technology, you know.
No, I understand that. Look, I'm not trying to re-educate every radio listening person in the world. I can't do that. I'm just anybody that's interested in hearing our show can hear it that way. That's all. But I'm not going to change people from the radio to the. You know, I even talk to people. And I'll say, well, here's how you do it. And, well, yeah, okay, but where? I said, you do own a smartphone. Yeah. And you do carry that everywhere. Oh, sure, yeah. All right, well, it's easier on that than it is on the radio. Yeah, but where is the... So they still, you know, there's still going to be years and years of habits that a lot of people need to break. But I think most of the new audio content listeners are listening to podcasts and listening to... things online now, and more people are leaving the radio. I mean, it's like whoever is left listening to the radio are people of, I think, of a older demographic, you know.
Well, it's like a lot of old people there. My aunt, you know, she my aunt will never ever listen to anything other than the radio because she doesn't believe in any of that stuff.
No, I know your aunt is pretty typical, you know, of traditional. Anybody, you know, people like what they like. You're not going to change people, and I don't try to. I suggest. That's what I do. I don't have to go on a damn campaign to try to get somebody to do something that they're not comfortable doing. But if they want to do something different, and it's a lot easier, then they're certainly more than welcome to do that. So I was just talking to Nikki. So what did you want to do?
Well, why don't you get Mavis on the phone?
We'll talk to Mavis in a minute, but I was talking to Nikki about she had a stomach ache, and I said, what'd you eat? And she said, a chef salad. And I said, well, you know, I don't know who made it, but generally when they're made well, they're delicious. And she said, oh, yeah, that's right. And then she mentioned the restaurant she was at, and I said, well, there you go.
What'd you eat at?
I'm just kidding. She didn't say that. But I've gotten back on my diet. But I'm eating these Morningstar veggie burgers and stuff, and I'm eating the I don't know what they are. They're like they're fake patties. They're soy patties, and I've actually gotten to the point where I like them more than the other ones. But they tend to have a lot of calories in them too. Some of them are up to 150 calories, 160.
Yeah, you get some that get fewer.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm holding myself down to 1,700 calories a day.
Phil, you're going to die at 1,700 calories a day. A man your size, you're going to die. You'll die and you'll die slow.
No, I will not. Are you nuts or something? A diabetic, the diet that a lot of diabetics are on is 1,500 calories a day.
I'm not talking about a diabetic. I'm talking about a relatively healthy man like you. And if you limit yourself to 1,700 calories a day, you'll die a slow, horrible death.
Well, Phil, I don't know anything about calories, but good sweet God. Are you trying to kill yourself?
Wait a minute. What's wrong with 1,700 calories a day?
But no, Bandit, you can't. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, right. So why don't you just butt out, okay?
How many calories in a steak?
How many calories in a steak? There's a really good question, bud. Try 3,000. The average steak, say a 10-ounce, 12-ounce steak, 3,000 calories, man. 3,000. Okay?
That's a load of hooey, and you know it, Phil.
Margaret, are you going to come over and sit down, or are you going to stand there at the corner smoking a cigar?
I like standing over here smoking the cigar and yelling things at you because I feel safe.
Great.
Well, what do you mean, 3,000 calories? That's the biggest load I've ever heard.
3,000 calories. That's what I looked at, man. I got my calorie king. I break that thing out.
I think it must be a bigger steak than that, Phil.
What, are you walking further and further away?
I'm just seeing how strong my lungs are.
They will stay strong, Ms. Gray, with that cigar.
What?
That ain't gonna stay strong with that cigar.
Don't yell. Margaret, if you keep on yelling, I'm just gonna throw these guys out of the room and they can go talk to you out there.
Whatever.
So, yeah, 3,000 calories. 3,000 calories. Now, you
know... What does that have on it?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it must have been...
Steak
it must have been.
Itself doesn't have a lot of calories.
Well, it must have been a bigger steak than a 12-ounce. Maybe it was like a big 18-ounce or maybe even a 20. Because I can, you know, when I ate steak before I went on my diet, I was eating porterhouse steaks for two. I mean, that's how... Seriously, you know, I just ate a lot. So, if I sit down and have a 12-ounce steak, I might as well not even eat it. I would rather not. I would rather put the calories into something that's more plentiful. So, and I don't put anything on a steak. I eat it with just a salt, maybe salt, if that. And that's it. I don't put anything on a steak, you know. I can't tell you the last time I had a steak. So, the question is, what'd you put on your chef's salad? I know. All kinds of...
Fat-free Italian dressing.
Fat-free Italian dressing. That's an oxymoron. No, that's... Okay, so that's that. Then what about all the other jazz you throw on that? Like, have...
Yeah, ham.
It's not light ham, is it? L-I-T-E?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's a damn good thing to have, I'll tell you that, man. You're not on a diet, are you? Maybe?
Maybe.
Really? Well, see, chicks have got to go way down with the calories. You guys can't get away with 2,000 a day. You need to cut that almost in half, don't you?
Like, it's not even necessarily about that. I'm just trying to keep sugars in check.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. And if, you know, smaller portions obviously is going to lead to weight loss, but...
Sugar? You're putting sugar in check because of the fat that it... Because the calories it puts on or because it drives, you know, because it's bad for the system in general?
Bad for the system. Triglycerides and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's bad news, man. Yeah. Bad news, you
and
know.
And my vice is pasta and fruit.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Fruit is... People don't know that, but fruit's really high calorically.
And that's... I mean...
Yeah, it's too bad.
Everything in moderation. Fruit is great for you. Natural sugars are great for you. You just have to limit it. You can't have, you know, 10 apples a day.
No. And I used to eat 10 apples a day.
Right.
I mean, I love
that. Fruit.
Me
I could
too.
Eat it all day.
Yeah. Bananas. I love bananas. Ugh, you can't have, so man, good. One banana is like 100 calories. So what are you going to do with maybe three bananas a day if you want to eat those? And I have that protein powder, which is, so all this stuff that I used to like to eat and the way I used to eat, I had to re-educate myself and retrain and become almost a different guy. And when I started doing that, then all of a sudden the weight started to come off. But, man,
absolutely,
it's not easy. And you have to just give up on all this stuff that you used to eat. If you want to have 2,000, 1,700 calories a day, you can do it and you don't have to be hungry. But you got to find all this new stuff to eat, you know. And part of it was me going and buying 45-calorie hot dogs, 40-calorie sliced bread.
40-calorie sliced bread. What kind of bread is it?
But you don't even know what that means, 40 calories a slice. It's just some nature's oven or nature's microwave or something from nature. All right, should we take a break? Yeah, we should. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, more calorically and otherwise when we come back. Welcome Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we've been talking a little bit here about, you know, food and...
What?
What is that, man?
That's for the weight.
Turn the music. What's what?
That's for the weight, talk of weight.
Talking about weight?
Yes, well, David thought it was a good idea because of Rudy Canosa using it.
So every time I'm talking about food?
No. That's not about food, about your weight.
Oh, about my weight, I see. So when I start talking about my... Well, the answer is no, you're not going to do that, bud.
Well, Mr. Hall said...
Mr. Hall, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to do it. Okay? You're not going to do it. Talking about my weight...
This was a suggestion from Rudy.
Hey, Rudy doesn't run the show around here. And we're not going to have me being the object of... Yeah, here he is. I just know it. What'd you do? Did you have him on speed dial or something?
Well.
Yeah, David.
All I'm saying is I thought it was a good idea because what it does is it shows people the negative. When you hear the sound of a foghorn reinforces the low end, doesn't it? In terms of noise, we always think of a foghorn as reinforcing the low end. So you're there. So what you're doing, Phil, is you are reminding people of the, I don't know, the large, big, fat, you know.
Be the fat ass.
I didn't want to say it, but you had a big fat ass on somebody by running. I thought it was an interesting form of public service. Were you talking about diet?
No, it's not. It's humiliating and...
Well, come on, Phil. I mean, you're a bigger man than that.
I'm not going to have a foghorn when I'm talking about that. Now, I know that Canosa does it in his store, and that's fine. And if he wants to make fun of fat women walking through... First of all, I ain't fat anymore, okay? You're fatter than me. And if you want to get right down to it, your girlfriend's bigger than the two of us. How's that feel?
Man, I tell you, if you don't... baby. You know, if she... I don't care. You can insult her all you want. But she's liable to hear what you just said because I'm on my way over to pick her up right now. And if she did, then I got to listen to it all night. Thank you very much, Phil.
Well...
No. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. I'm telling you something that I think will help in terms of the audience identifying with you. When they hear that foghorn, they know that you, well, that you did have a fat ass until you started losing weight, and now you don't, but my girlfriend...
Yeah, your girlfriend still does.
You know, okay, that's fine, but I'll tell you this much. I'm picking her up. You know, I'm a peaceful man. I'm picking her up in about 3, 2, 1. Here she is right now. She's coming out.
Okay, so she's coming out.
Watch out. Yeah. Yeah, I know. She's giving me a hard time. Yeah, I know. I'm talking to him right now. Daphne, I'm talking to him right now.
Okay.
I'm talking to him right now. Okay, thanks a lot, Phil. Thank you very much.
Let me talk to her.
No, you're not going to talk to her. Thank you very, very much, Phil. I'm trying to help your show. You called my girlfriend a fat. He did it. Thanks a lot, Phil.
David, you know... Oh.
That was pretty low, Phil.
Hey, man, I got news for you. When that guy comes on my program...
Man? Is that what I am to you now?
I'm not saying man in the gender sense. I'm saying, hey, man, in the everyday man sense, and in the audience sense, in the member of panel sense, that guy comes on my show and starts talking to me about what would be a really cool thing to do for the audience. Play a foghorn, Phil, every time you talk about your fat ass. Will you get out of here with that, bud?
Sorry.
Every time you're talking about weight or diet... He's going to do that with me, right? So, first of all, he is bigger than me, and his girlfriend is bigger than the two of us.
But, Phil, you don't say that on the radio while she is getting ready to go out for donuts.
You're getting ready to go out for donuts?
I didn't say donuts.
Well, Margaret, we all know that's exactly what you were going to say, and then you realized that to say donut, you'd be playing right into Henry's hands, and you wouldn't want that now, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
All right, well, then you didn't. And,
whatever. So that's how that goes. That's how I'm going to play that game from here on in. And anybody doesn't like it, you're right, I will. I'll take my ball and go home.
You said ball.
Right, I said ball, but I said it, not you. World famous Phil Henry Show, you said ball. All right. Where are we at here, man? Did I already read the Snowden thing? Yes, I did. The Eric Snowden, he's the guy that is at South by Southwest. That's where the whole entertainment community is right now. Everybody that is involved in comedy, everyone that's involved in animation, everyone that's involved in music, And I didn't know that it had a technological or, if you will, a techno geek aspect to it. But I suppose everything having to do with that generation does have some element of technology associated with it, some way of communicating.
Well, Phil, more often than not, the modern technology isn't so much about communicating. It's some way of a young person sitting on their can and looking at made-up pictures of people and going, ah, ha, ha, ha. That's what my son's involved in. That's what a lot of them are.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that this generation is immersed in music, yes, comedy, yes, and the new technologies, which allows them to sit for hours at a time watching this, you know, South Park and Bob's Burgers and Rick and the one you're on, Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And, oh, do you think I just plugged your show?
Not my show. It's Justin Roiland's show.
Well, you're on it.
I've got a couple of a few episodes. I'm not on every episode.
Well, the point is, see, but you got me to mention it.
I didn't get you to mention anything.
I couldn't help but mention it, though. And in a way, you got me to do that.
How did I get you to do it?
Phil.
Margaret, you know, you know I'll back you up when I can. But if you're going to lead everybody into this quicksand of horse dung, you're on your own, lady. All we're going to see is your flowered hat floating on the top of that swamp and the two bugged-out eyes of an alligator sailing. Well, I don't even want to think about it.
Thank you very much. And what are you doing, sitting in the airboat?
I'm sitting in the airboat peeling a banana. There's only so much a man can do.
What are you guys talking about?
Dad, talking about leaving Margaret floating in a swamp.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. What I can see, when I see how these cards are being played, and that the alligator has got the ace down, no thank you. What's wrong with you?
Why don't you go grab some vanilla wafers, General?
The alligator's got the ace down. I'll tell you who has the ace down, okay?
Don't say it.
So what? So they're watching a lot of animation.
This animation thing's giving me the creeps. What's going on with that?
What do you mean?
There's a lot of you people, not you, but a lot of the younger people.
Animation's big. It's huge. It's huge. Animation is big and huge, number one, because it can be done less expensively now than ever before. And it is coinciding with this media, this technological revolution and this platform revolution, where there are so many outlets, there's so many places to access information and entertainment that you need more content. And so animation is a great place to experiment with comedy, experiment with sci-fi, with fantasy, things like that. Maybe even some dramatic content. I don't know.
What dramatic content are you going to see on an animation?
I don't know. A lot of the Japanese anime is dramatic. Really super dramatic. I don't like Japanese anime. I never have. From the time I was a kid.
What you don't like it, or...
Did you just hear yourself, Margaret? You're the one. You went, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo.
I can't... Why don't you butt out, please?
You said wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Yes, so she said wah-wah-wah-wah.
Hey, I sat and listened to that air check from Friday, and I thought I was going to go ape when the two of you knuckleheads were going back and forth about the ha-ha-ha-ha.
That's right, you reminded me. You never did cop to that.
No, you guys sounded like jackasses. Did you want to hear the air check of that?
What?
Oh, the two of you guys talking about how to say ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. I mean, after a while, it was, I'm telling you, it was high comedy. Now, what are we talking about here?
I asked you, why don't you like Japanese anime?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
You're prejudiced.
No, it's not prejudice. I'll tell you this. The very first Japanese anime I ever saw was the very first Japanese anime anybody in my generation saw, and that was Astro Boy.
Oh, God, Astro Boy. Remember him?
Yeah, and I didn't like Astro Boy. I didn't like anything about Astro Boy. I didn't like the way he looked. I didn't like the way he talked. And I didn't like the things he said.
Bam.
So that was it. And Astro Boy, so ever since Astro Boy, Japanese anime is not my thing, man. All right, I'm going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and continue maybe talk. You want to talk some more?
I'd like to talk a little bit more about the animation, yes.
All right, we'll talk some more animation. I know Rick and Morty, Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland did a very entertaining Didn't they do AMA? Ask Me Anything?
Yeah, they did it on Reddit.
They did an AMA on Reddit, so you can go back and check that out as well today. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on philhendryshow.com. We are live and mobile on TuneIn, live and mobile on Listen Live on our website. Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. You might have just flashed there on the news page there if you're watching Phil TV in HD, because we do have our internet computer and we are feeding every now and again a story, or we'll hear some audio or something, and you might have seen the a story that says Q&A on the disappearance of Malaysia Airline flight MH370, and there was a report that the Vietnamese Coast Guard might have found a piece of a door or an emergency door.
That mean they found it?
No, that doesn't mean they found anything, man. They think they did. They did not find it. They saw it from the air, and they've been trying to locate it. They saw it from the air using infrared and some kind of highly focusing visual equipment, but they were seeing this thing at night. It looked to them like some kind of door from an aircraft, but they have to actually go down and physically grab it out of the water. So you don't just take a boat and go out. Okay, let's go on the boat now and go out there into the ocean, because you don't know where the hell you're going. The first thing to do is take aircraft out there and get an overview of what the hell it is you're looking at, and then you can direct the craft there. So what were we doing, Margaret?
Well, you were talking about Anna May. I was thinking of the song by John Lee Hooker called Anime, and I got flushed, and then I realized you were talking about some cartoon, and then I realized it was some cartoon from Japan, and then I started to feel sick, and...
Well, why would you feel sick?
Don't jump all over that like I'm a racist, General. I just started feeling sick thinking that I'd gotten hot thinking about... You know, and it turned out to be some kid with almond eyes and a pig mouth.
And a pigtail. That's what you said that once before. Almond eyes and pigtails, the order of the day.
I didn't say... Well, yes, about China in the 19th century.
But not about Japanese anime.
Not that I know of.
Oh, will you please grow up? Please.
What are you talking about, Phil?
Oh, get out of here, pigtails and almond eyes. No, we were talking about anime, Japanese anime. Now, before we bring on here we have Justin McElroy. I'd like to get Justin Roiland on here, and maybe I will. Justin, when you're back from Austin, he is my boss and producer there on Rick and Morty.
What's the character you play?
I play Principal Vagina.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, it's a very small part, but it's fun. But Principal Vagina is, you know, one of the, he's kind of a recurring character. But before we get Justin on here, Justin McElroy on here, and I think R.C. Collins as well, we're going to talk about, you know, as we got into this thing about Japanese anime. I'm not saying that it's bad animation. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying me, personally, okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, that's not what you're saying. You're saying it gives you the creeps based on almond eyes and pigtails.
Oh, God, Phil, you are a racist. I didn't...
You're the one that said it, not me.
Yes, Margaret, you said it.
About the Chinese.
Margaret.
About the Chinese. Not about the Japanese. I will not be painted into that corner. I will not be painted into the corner like the Shogun, like, you know, the member Shogun and that Portuguese man with the funny-looking collar looked like his head was stuck in a birthday cake. No, no, that's not me.
His head stuck in a birthday cake?
Yes, Phil.
Yeah, remember on Shogun?
Nah, I barely remember Shogun.
Well, it was an interesting book.
Yeah, that's great. I remember it was a big, big weekly TV miniseries, Shogun. A lot of you kids aren't, I say kids, a lot of you are not old enough to remember Shogun. It was huge, man. It was huge. It was on, was that the 80s? I think it was the 80s. It never ended, too. Shogun was on every week on NBC, if I'm not mistaken. And it seemed like it was week in, week out, day in, day out. I don't think this thing ever ended, man. It must have been 50 weeks long.
Oh, get out of here. No, it wasn't.
Well, it never ended, man. Every damn week that thing was on. And I had not caught it from the beginning. And I refuse to, I don't know why I refuse to watch it. I'm not a big Richard Chamberlain fan. I just, that's that cat, I don't, you know, I just, I don't want to. I just, you know, he's.
Well, what's wrong with Richard? Oh, I get it. You think the guy's a little light, huh?
No, no, no. I just never liked the cat's characters. He always played characters that were, that, I don't know. I didn't like the guy. So, you know, I admit he was a great, very fine actor. There's no question about, look, I just saw a Godzilla character on, what the hell is going on here?
That's that Godzilla on a TV show.
What the hell is this, man? I don't know. It's some commercial. It's Godzilla's, oh, you know what this is? You know, oh, it's the Snickers bar. That's it. All right.
Snickers?
Yeah, it's Godzilla on a Snickers bar. Godzilla eats a Snickers and then turns back into their buddy, or turns back into good Godzilla. All right, there's a new Godzilla, I guess, out. And
how many more Godzilla going to watch? That's the third Godzilla, man.
Yeah, this Godzilla is going to be a better Godzilla, I think, because this Godzilla is probably going to be more like the original Godzilla. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Look, Phil, let's get back to the anime thing. Now, I thought anime...
No, it's not John Lee Hooker. I tell you what we will do is get our friend here, Justin McElroy, on the phone. Justin is talking to us here from... North L.A. County. Justin, of course, is a student at L.A. Canyon High School. He is a, right now, he's a junior and is soon to be a senior next year. And we have also from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California, R.C. Collins to be talking with us as well about Japanese anime and what it is that each of you enjoy about this. I know that you guys are, let's start out here with you, Justin. I know that you're a Rick and Morty fan, right?
I like Rick and Morty. I think it's pretty interesting. I wouldn't say that I'm an anime fan. I'm an animation fan, but not an anime fan.
Okay, what animated shows other than Rick and Morty do you like?
Well, I mean, I'm still, you know, very high on... I'm still very high on South Park. I know a lot of people have... you know, I think there's a kind of, you know, an elitist... an elitist view of South Park. Like, you know, my dad tries to pretend like he's all cool and he thinks he's cool by watching South Park, but, you know, my dad will say stuff like, oh, yeah, South Park used to be good. I go, Dad, you watched like two episodes of South Park and you thought it was, you thought it was horrid, you know, you thought it was just bad, you know, bad mojo for kids, and you never seen any since then. And he goes, I don't need to because it's really, it really sucks. I go, no, it doesn't, Dad.
Yeah, but that's not just adults. Aren't there people your age or maybe even a little bit older that think South Park has weakened?
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are elitist, in other words, they want to be the ones, they think they're the ones that discovered something first. You know, of all of my friends that discovered the really good animation, I have to tell you that I'm the one that discovered it.
You're the one that discovered it before anybody else.
Yes, sir, I am. I found South Park before anybody else did. I found Bob's Burgers before. Or I found Family Guy before anybody else did. Everybody that I know watches Family Guy from when it went back on the air. It went off the air one time from on I forget on whatever network it was.
It was on NBC, I thought, wasn't it?
You may be right. I don't know. I don't follow that garbage. Is that Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah, that is Seth MacFarlane.
It's a great show. I do follow it. I'm sorry. I know that sounds disingenuous. I didn't know it was Seth MacFarlane. I do watch...
Wait. I'm very interested. How did you go...
Phil, just keep talking to the young man.
No. How did you go from thinking it was garbage to, oh, is that Seth MacFarlane? No, I like that.
Because I remembered that I liked it. I didn't think I did.
Yeah, you remember you like it just because you Seth MacFarlane.
That was incomprehensible, what you just said.
Well, Ms. Gray, this is Justin McElroy. It sounds like you said you liked it after you heard about Seth MacFarlane being, you know, that being his show because you think he's, you know, a good singer and he hosted the Academy Awards and everything.
I beg your pardon. You don't know a thing about me, young man. No, that is not why I said I didn't like it, but then I said, yes, I do. Yeah, all right, yes, that is the reason why, but I'm not going to say that that is the reason why. Would you move on, Phil, to another question?
All right. I mean, you know, sounds like we...
No, we didn't do anything. I think the young man might have made a point.
So do you like Family Guy or not?
Oh, yeah, I...
No, not you, Margaret.
I said it's Seth MacFarlane, correct?
No, it's not.
I think it's garbage.
It is Seth MacFarlane. Mr. Henry lied to you.
You dirty... So you're making me look like an ass on a train.
Margaret, come on.
No, that's it. I'm just...
Make sure she doesn't leave.
You're not going to leave, are she? Yeah, are she?
No, she's not going to leave.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
No, you didn't do anything. Margaret, you know, I caught you, Margaret, in a typical, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth.
I'm not doing anything of the sort.
Yeah, you are. When you find out, oh, Seth MacFarlane, oh, yes, no, yes, no.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Henry, that when Family Guy went off the air the first time, all of my friends, you know, never even saw it. They never even watched it. They're all like, what are you talking about? I don't know. And I said, you got to watch Family Guy. It's bitching, you know. And they're all, no. And then it came back on, and I go, watch Family Guy. Now they're all fans of it. And I go, I'm the first one to watch it. And they go, no, you weren't. I go, yes, I was, man. So...
Nikki, say that again, because I don't think Justin heard you.
You're acting like such a hipster.
Well, I'm not acting. It is the truth. It's the truth of it. And you can ask my friends, okay? All of them said that they think that Family Guy's good. Well, no, they didn't, because they said it was bad.
Okay, what other show?
Well, I mean, I like South Park, Family Guy, Simpsons. I was the first one to watch that. Beavis and Butthead, I was the first one to watch that, and they're bringing that one back. And then another one was King of the Hill. And
so, in other words, every hit animation series, you were the first one.
Yeah, I was. And the other thing is, well, I better not say, but I know of a couple that are going to be coming out, which I better not say what they are, but one of them's based on a movie that was really funny.
All right.
And I could tell you the name of it.
No, I don't want to know the name of it if you're not supposed to say the name of it. We'll be right back here. Justin McElroy, we're going to get R.C. Collins back up here with us as well, talking about animation, anime, you know, all of that, man. All of that stuff here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Back in just a minute here. Back, Phil Hendry Show.
What's that?
It's the Isley Brothers.
Well,
don't give me that. Well,
no, it's because he's racist, Mr. Hendry.
No, I'm not.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like songs that go, hey, hey. It's very not. It's a lot of people can't relate to it.
That's his way of saying he don't like black music.
I didn't say that at all.
Well, I better not find out that's the reason. Okay, bud.
I didn't do anything.
Hey, when are you getting married, by the way? You've got this young lady, beautiful young girl.
Bud, your girlfriend is the most beautiful African-American girl. What's her name?
Vivian.
Is he going to marry her?
You announced some big engagement, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Well...
What'd she do, break it off?
No, but she got mad at me.
What for? Bet you she heard something you said on the air.
No, she didn't. She just got mad at some stuff that I did.
You better not be, I swear to God, bud, you better not be storing hot bikes or anything.
I did not. I didn't steal any.
I don't care if you didn't steal any. Have you got stolen motorcycles in your garage? Yes or no?
Well, Mr. Henry, he's not going to say nothing if he does.
Yeah, Phil, I think you're trying to get the kid to admit something that'll get him in trouble.
I'm telling you right now, if you do, you better get rid of it.
I didn't do anything.
I didn't say you stole it. I'm saying you're keeping stolen stuff. Aren't you? You are. You don't have to say another word. You are. Bud, if I find out that stuff's still there tomorrow, you're fired.
I only did one time.
No wonder the chick doesn't want to marry you, man.
She didn't say she don't want to marry me.
Yes, she don't want to marry you, man, if you're going to go to prison.
I'm not going to go to prison.
Then you better get rid of that stuff. And I don't care who these guys are that are asking you to... Who the hell is taking advantage... I don't know who these people are that are taking advantage of you.
They're taking advantage of him, Phil, because they think he's some kind of a retard with that plate in his head.
Is that it, bud?
No.
Well, you better not let people think you're some kind of a schmuck. You're going to go to jail for people. Cops are going to find this stuff in your garage, and you're going to go to jail, and whoever it is you're storing that stuff for is going to be walking. You think they're going to be your friend?
These are guys I've known a long time.
These cats are not your friend.
Bud, take it from me. You can't let some guy chump you like that. Brother, you got to stick up for yourself. It's every man for himself in this world. And if you can't stand up on your own 2 feet, well, you're going to walk out of there with a flower shoved up in it. Just like Lloyd, he said you'll be butt up with a flower in it. You'll be more than ass up. Why, I knew a guy.
All right, thank you very much, General. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil, for allowing me to...
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
You're a great American, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So you heard what I said. You've heard the last word on this from the Henry Show. No, 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 no.
But you've got to have some kind of... You must have wax teeth for a brain to think that you're going to get away with that. That kind of stuff. That's real punk stuff. Real chump change.
I only said I'd hold on to it for a couple of days.
Yeah, 2 days is all it takes, man. All you need is that... Ew, ew. You're going to see those cherries, that red light swinging around in your window, waking you up from a deep, drunken sleep. You'll be stumbling out into the yard in your underwear. All of a sudden, freeze!
Shut up!
Yep, that's what you'll hear.
Yo, Seth, drop to your knees. Hands on your head.
Shut up! I'm not going to... They better not.
Well, what do you think you're going to do about it? So you better get rid of... you know I'm not kidding you, right?
Yeah.
So no wonder she doesn't want to marry you. I don't blame her, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Henry wouldn't marry himself.
No, I would. What do you mean? Yeah, it's real funny. All right. Let's get back to our friends here. R.C. Collins is also joining us along with Justin McElroy as we talk about animation and the future of animation. R.C., you know Bud. Maybe you can give him a couple of ideas.
Well, you know something, Bud. I'm going to tell you something. I've known you a long time. You got to have such... You must have a king-sized turd for what used to be your brain to do a thing like that.
Yeah, you're talking all big now.
Shut up, Bud. Listen to him.
I'm talking big now because I've changed my ways, and I don't do none of that anymore. You got to have... Man, I can't... I hope that when they finally do discover where your brain was left, that it's largely undamaged.
Well, you know, if you had friends, you'd do the same thing.
I got friends, and I ain't going to do that for them, no how. Let me tell you what, friend. My friends would never leave me twisted in the breeze, just going...
Shut up!
Well, they wouldn't. I'll tell you that right now.
All right. R.C., thank you for that. I think that's much needed. You heard what Justin said. He is a South Park fan. He's pretty much a fan of all of the current animation. Are you an anime fan?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Henry, I was an anime fan briefly. There were a couple of The Shadow was one. I liked that one where that ghoul, the ghoul-like shadow, followed that kid home on her train ride and stuff. But mostly I'm a traditional animation fan. And while I do share the enthusiasm of Justin McElroy...
My name is Justin McElroy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Justin McElroy.
Are you guys sharing the same phone?
No, I'm on another phone.
Okay, so they came in, they called in on different lines?
No, they're on one line.
They're on one line?
Yeah.
And you guys are on two separate phones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How can they be on two separate phones and they're calling in on one line?
I'm just looking at one line here.
You're looking at one line? Is that the only one lit?
No.
Well, how many are lit, Bud?
Two.
Well, then that's how many they're calling in? What a moron. God.
Bud, do you have two lines open?
Well, yeah.
Then that's how many are calling. All right, guys. So, in any event, Justin, you say that... sorry about the mispronunciation of your name. All right, R.C., go ahead.
Well, yeah, sorry, Justin. Okay. I would say that I agree to a point. I am looking forward to a couple of more new offerings from the producers of King of the Hill. I don't want to say what. The Beavis and Butthead reboot is very interesting, but for the most part, I like Rick and Morty. But I would say that the animation's going to have to really pick it up and be edgier, and be more, I think, really on the edge and really start going for it in 2014.
All right, what do you mean going for it? What kind of material would you like to see done? Justin, what do you think?
Well, I would say that for me, I'd like to see more plot lines developed along the lines of more daring sexual plot lines involving, underage students with teachers. I'm not that I agree with that. I don't agree with it at all. I think it should be shown to be a bad thing. I think it should. But I would say, for instance, a weekly series, and R.C. and I had been developing one called Mrs. Blaine's, and Mrs. Blaine's is a teacher who has sex with all the male students and is constantly running afoul of the administration And it's all about how the students finally teach Mrs. Blaines that she can't be having sex with them. And they do it. The good part about it is they do it by having sex with her and saying, see, Mrs. Blaines, we're having sex with you. See, it's not no good and everything.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny premise, and that's an idea that we had. Another idea.
Whoa. I mean, you guys really think you're going to sell that?
Sell what?
Mrs. Blaines.
Yeah, Mrs. Blaines is a very good idea, and you'll see. You'll know. When you see it, then you'll see. Then you'll know. Yeah, you'll see, Mr. Henry. Then you'll know.
Yeah, okay. We're running out of time. Any other ideas?
Yeah, another idea that we have is the cuckoo mill or the cuckoo factory. The cuckoo factory is a nut house like a Tascadero where there's forensic criminals, serial murderers, and the like, who are running a weekly crap game.
All right, hold up. You guys are going to have to pick this up at another time, another place. I apologize, everybody. It's the Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. We will see you guys on the flip side. That is tomorrow. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, RC. Talking about animation, anime, and anime, and all that stuff. We'll pick it up with those guys. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night, 7 Pacific, daytime. Hanging out of my bed.